Welcome to Tarot for the Wild Soul, a podcast that explores the tarot through an inclusive, soul-centered, trauma-informed perspective for growth, healing, and evolution. I'm your host, Lindsay Mack. Hello, loves, and welcome back to Tarot for the Wild Soul podcast. So grateful and thankful to be gathered with all of you as always in this space of exchange, in this space of connection. Thank you so much for being here and for listening. We're here at a new month. This is a brand new monthly medicine. I'm wishing everybody a very blessed Beltane or Samhain, depending on what you honor and acknowledge during this time of the year. Even if you don't kind of connect with or follow any ritual related to the old ways, around Beltane or Samhain, I believe that this time as a cross quarter is for anybody who wants to be connected to it, who wants to sense into a deeper kinship with the seasons of the year, with the spiral of the year, where it finds them, where it exists within them. So Beltane, which falls roughly on May 1st, is the halfway point between the spring equinox and the summer solstice. So we're talking peak spring. Anytime we move through a cross quarter and there are four in the year, there's Imbolc around February 1st, there's Beltane around May 1st, there's Lunasad around August 1st, and there's Samhain, which usually falls on, November 1st, but we mainly know it as October 31st. But so much falls around Samhain that's cross-cultural, right? There's Samhain, there's Day of the Dead, there's so many different, energies. And some people don't even honor Samhain until the first new moon after or around that time, like the first new moon in November. So even that is a little fluid, right? But our cross quarters represent, they broadcast and help to provide us with these wonderful points of reflection. Where are we right now, right? What's happening in us? Where do we find ourselves? What are we surrounded by? What are we looking at? No matter what's happening in our lives, what are we noticing, right? These are all lovely and powerful portals to look at. Now, because this is in the Northern Hemisphere, of course, the apex of spring, this is usually when we start to see around Beltane and beyond, like the highest point of color in our flowers and and the fragrance is quite lovely. Like everything is blooming right now, right? We're starting to clear out the last vestiges of frost, depending again on where we are in this hemisphere. We might even be working with like an overabundance of heat because climate, of course, where I live and, just exceedingly lovely, warm, temperate days. And now we have about, I feel like we're on like day five or six of just gray rain, but my lilacs are starting to blossom a little bit. I'm really happy about it. It's working for everyone. And in fact, I was reflecting on that, like just how wonderful Beltane is, how much I love it, how much I love this time on the wheel of the year, how much I love how it's connected to Samhain, right? Because this is the, when we're in Lunasad, for example, on August 1st, on the other side of the world, that's Imbolc, right? So when we're in Beltane, the folks on the other side of the world are moving through deep fall, which is typically where we honor Samhain. Now, you can still honor Samhain when it's warm outside. That's really powerful too. But just these two cross quarters exist seasonally with each other, which I hope makes sense. Beltane is about life. Beltane is about birth. Beltane is about connecting with what makes life worth living, like what feels beautiful about life right now. For a lot of folks, not much. There are a lot of people around the world right now deeply suffering who don't have any spaciousness or any safety to even sense into that question. There may be those of us who are dealing with profound loss, where we're like, I will never be right again. I will never be okay again. There may be some of us who are working through an absolutely impossible season of divorce, of infidelity, of a new diagnosis, something happening with our children, just real challenges, life-lifing, unfortunately. We're living through a time where the climate is changing before our eyes, where there are so many unimaginable devastations, atrocities, injustices happening. How do we square Beltane, which is typically a time of again, riotous fragrance and color and fertility magic and sex and play and the maypole? Those folks, who honored the old ways, right, went through fucking horrible shit and still showed up to celebrate what was worth celebrating, still showed up inside of those festivals to plant the seeds for something better, for a good harvest, for their children to be okay, you know, for what was ailing them, where their struggles were, for them to get better. For many of us, things are really, really hard, you know, depending on what we're working with. And for so many, things are really hard and pleasure may feel very far away. I find for myself that the cross quarters, I've had to let go and abandon the idea of meeting them in the idea that has been proposed about them. So for example, with Beltane, this idea that like the lilacs are blooming, everything's like, whoo, everything's coming up, everything's blooming, everything smells good, it's delicious out there, starting to warm up. I can tell you that there's been many a Beltane where I've been miserable, sick. Right now I'm going through one of the hardest flares of pain and chronic fatigue that I've had in memory. It's very, very difficult right now. It's one of the reasons why there's only been like one podcast episode per month. That's one reason of many, along with an enormous workload and lots of work obligations and life obligations, that there's only been one episode per month of this podcast, unfortunately. For the last few months, I simply have not had the spoons or the space to do that, you know, to provide that. So that doesn't mean that Beltane isn't for us. It means that Beltane actually is here to meet us where we are. That's a huge part of the cross quarters. And if we look at the world outside, like literally around us, because that's what's so powerful about working with cross quarters, and is not to look necessarily at our neighbor or at a few states away or what's going on in another region of our area, but to look at where we are right now and basically, you know, say like, what's blooming around me? What's the weather? What is the temperature? And what's blooming within me? What's the temperature inside of me? What's the weather happening in my life right now? You know, I live in a region of the world where, you know, again, it's been very, very rainy these past few days after a long stretch of lovely weather. And I'm really honoring that. I'm like, okay, Beltane is going to be really rainy and gray this year. I can find that in myself. Like, absolutely. There have been times where Beltane's been glorious and I've been having a hard time in one way or another, or bedridden or whatever it is. So what's blooming? What's of value to you? What are you seeing finally blossom for you? Like, what are the seeds you planted last year, earlier this year, that are starting to come a bit more online? Those are some of the things that we start thinking about on Beltane, and also thinking about in terms of the medicine of spring, moving into summer very, very shortly. What is it that we would still continue to want to plant? Like, what are we continuing to foster, to sow? What are we continuing to put more of, in terms of our attention and our energy, into our lives, into the soil of our lives? And where can there be more room for joy, even inside of the shit, you know? So those are my loose and light Beltane thoughts. And in the spirit of that, we can turn our attention to the month ahead. So the theme for the month of May is contemplate. And the definition of contemplate, even though I think we all know a general sense of the word, but I always like to look up the official definition to get a sense of what's going on with it. To contemplate is to look at or to view with a continued attention to observe or study thoughtfully. So that sense of thoughtfully, that sense of continued observation, is a really, really big part of this month. In terms of the cards I pulled, there are a massive amount of them, not massive, but a surprising number of the cards that I pulled for this month that are reversed. And when I checked in and was like, would you like me to flip all of these? Spirit was like, no. So I don't usually work with reversals when I do these, but it seemed to be really important that I honor that. So I'm happy to. But reversals, it's a good time to mention that reversals are never a problem in a reading. They indicate that we need to take sort of, we're looking at the well-worn path, and there's sort of more like grassy, wild path over here to the right that will lead us back to the main path. But to go through it means like probably greeting some thorns and sidestepping some nettles, or maybe not, and working with their sacred sting, you know, being really wary of like, you know, what's over here and why would I be called to this slightly more rugged path that is not taken as often? What am I here to discover, right, about this before I'm, you know, before it flows me, before it moves me back out onto the main path? Reversals are important, reflective invitations that must be reflected upon before we can move forward. Sometimes reversals are about endings coming during a time when we've been doing so much work around a certain area. Sometimes we realize that we're still worried about, concerned about working with something that is a ghost of its former self. Like we're still, you know, believing that, oh my goodness, I'm, you know, I am, I'm so concerned about this thing happening or this thing not happening. And I, it's like not even here anymore. You know, again, it's a ghost. It's a haunting of its former self. So sometimes reversals can mean the welcome and glorious end to a very long cycle that we've been in for quite some time, right? The biggest pieces that I'm getting about what's going to probably ask for our continued contemplation, this is a strength year. This is an 8 year. So I'll remind everybody that we are in a really profound time of change, personally, you know, collectively, and that the medicine and the way that eight energy and strength energy moves us into change with the tarot is that it helps us to see, it helps to guide us to look at the things that are really tricky and uncomfortable, but must be looked at in order for us to move forward. So 8 years are, we look back at them and we might gloss over them and be like, wow, like all of this magical stuff happened. All of these changes took place. All these realizations came online. But we don't often acknowledge that a lot of eight medicine, it involves a lot of hard work, a lot of willingness to be with tricky subjects, to be with tough things. Like we're called to look at those lions. Like we all have those lions within ourselves, you know, tough conversations, you know, difficult unravelings, you know, facing things that again are must be faced, right? So I feel this coming online a lot more month after month. Like April was a huge month. I'll remind everybody the theme for April was declining the invitation. And wow, was that a helpful, frankly, monthly medicine for me to look back on and be like, okay, it's not just me. I'm not, not like in some sort of hellscape. April was, shock full of like, it was like a very heavily Chiron accented eclipse season. There was a Mercury retrograde in Aries. There was a lot of heavy density going on in April. And there was a lot of old shrapnel that for me anyway, came up to the surface and kind of demanded to be processed and let me know, like, the only way forward here is if you're willing to go in and process this. For me personally, I also turned 40 in the middle of all that nonsense, and it was beautiful. And it was such a powerful, to go out with friends and have a good time and be celebrated and be with my family. Like, there were so many blessings there too. So some of declining the invitation in April was about saying no thank you to the things that were kind of pulling us at the ankle down into the morass. And some of it was declining the invitation into the morass and being willing to stay with the really tricky things and being like, I'm not going to let you whip me around, but we are going to be here together. And we're going to invite in a third party processor if need be to help us to navigate this together in a container of safety. Right. So now that, again, eclipse energy, all that stuff. So now that there's been such a huge excavation, May is really about, well, okay, we're in, like, our strength here is full steam ahead at this point. And now there's a lot that's been excavated. And now the question is, what are we planting here? What are we planting in its place? What are we opening to? What are we making room for? Again, collectively in this world together and also in our personal lives, right? And how does one connect with the other? So we're being invited to look at, essentially for our continued journey, what's coming with us and what isn't. And for this continued journey, what might we need to put down in order to actually embark on it? How might we need to have greater patience? Like, thinking about the rest of the year as a journey and thinking about what we might need, not need in order to embark on that is really powerful and really important. The other thing that's really important is to think very, very strongly about boundaries. This is very interesting because I know that it definitely pertains to me personally, but there seemed to be a pretty huge insistence that that it's for everyone too, maybe not in the same way as it is for me, but the idea of thinking about, like, okay, what's sustainable? Like, what can we sustainably do? What might we need in order to continue to do what we're doing? Where are there outdated or very old forms of use of our time and energy that we have outgrown? What do we want to pour more energy into? Just thinking about all of those pieces. So just as a whole, May is about contemplation, but contemplation doesn't mean inactive. It doesn't mean passive. It doesn't mean opting out. It doesn't mean bypassing anything. But it does mean that the month, and thank God, because April was so intense, the month is going to hold a space for that kind of contemplation in one way or another, right? So our card for the month ahead, two popped out. We have King of Wands reversed and Four of Swords reversed. So Four of Swords reversed is that's really strong medicine for this month. So Four of Swords reversed, when we're in Four of Swords, we kind of build, anytime we're in a four, right? We're kind of building like a little fort and getting into it. And we it's like our safe space. It's a cool down room, right? When we're in a four energy, we're being invited to cool down, to restore, to reflect, to root down, to process, to digest something. All fours are a little different, but it's essential that we build, and not just build, but get into that fort for a minute, for a period of time, to let the things come down and through us that need to. Now, Four of Swords is all about how this relates to the mental of it. When we're in Four of Swords, there's often a very great protection or great, there's a lot of effort that we're being asked to put into taking a mental break, either overall or from something. Four of Swords is like, I can't really think about it right now. It's way too overwhelming. There's too much on my plate. I'm not respecting my own boundaries. I've got to take a break. I need to put my phone down. It's like a lot of like, there's too much on my head. I got to lie down, you know, which sure could be dissociation. It could be opting out. It could be bypassing. And very often with Four of Swords, like we're so overwhelmed for one reason or another that that's the best we can do. Right. And sometimes we need to take that space for a while. And sometimes Four of Swords comes up and through and that's it. Right. But we're choosing to rest as a means to be able to have the kind of spoons and resources that we need to move forward. Sometimes the mind just needs a rest, period. Now, Four of Swords reversed is an example of something inside of that paradigm changing. Usually I find that when we get a four that's reversed, it actually means that we've taken the time we've needed in that little fort, and we feel rested and resourced enough to come out of that and engage again. We feel clear, our boundaries are kind of clean enough that there is a sense of, not that there's dirty or clean or whatever, but we like, they're true. Like we're honoring what we need. So it's a debt of honor to ourselves being like, okay, this is what I'm going to invest my time in. This is what I'm not. I can take a break here. I can, whatever we need. Right. So the fours reversed are actually letting us know that something inside of the four energy is lifting up off of us. There is more of an engagement. There is more of a desire to come out of the cave and be a part of things again. So this is amazing and good and wanted. And I totally respect and appreciate how spirit is like, honor the reversals, because sometimes reversals can mean like, oof, it's lifting. It's actually lightening. You know, Four of Swords is great, but it asks a lot in terms of our focus, our attention, and our energy. Now, how does that relate to the second card we pulled for the card of the month? King of Wands reversed. So King of Wands reversed applies to everybody. Kings in the tarot are not up higher than anybody. They're not like the leaders or, you know, whatever. They're you, they're me, they're everyone. King of Wands has to do with the part of us that feels like we're connected to something exciting and true and expansive in ourselves. I often teach the Knight of Wands as like being a trailblazer. It's somebody who's willing to bring a vision, bring something that's different and not even necessarily groundbreaking, but their own, right? There's all a shared center that we draw from, right? Like what I'm connected to is probably something that another person has been connected to. And, you know, we tend to lean into the same, again, creative font, right? So it's not so much that we need to be like up above or doing something so ingenious, like no one's ever done it before. It just means that we're bringing down and through what we want to do. Like, and again, this has to do with what's accessible to us, what feels like we can reasonably do. There are lots of situations for all of us where it's like, I can't engage with that right now in the way that I want to. I have bills to pay. I have a family to support. I'm, you know, whatever it is. I would love to be doing XYZ amount of work, but again, I'm caretaking. I have to make sure like folks get paid. I have to make sure, like, you know, whatever it is. And it doesn't all have to do with money, obviously, but like there are moments where we, because of responsibilities that we hold, we can't necessarily be like blazing the trail, right? And then I would argue that there's a way that we blaze a trail in a much quieter, less firework-y type way by being like, okay, I'm gonna be with what has to happen in order for there to be, you know, expansion or peace or whatever might be. Because King of Wands is reversed, we want to start thinking about what are the blocks here that are stopping us from saying yes to what wants to be birthed and created through us. So for some of us, that's just an acknowledgement and an honoring, like, oh, I'm sick. That's why. I am a caretaker right now. I'm a full-time caretaker. Like, that is why, you know, I am early postpartum. That is why, you know, like there are some concrete reasons that we may have dreams, goals, ideas that are not able to be solidified, right? And we're not able to put action to. I think that this month is inviting us to simply be with those things if we feel capable of that in a way that does not overwhelm our capacity to cope, to think about, like, to bow to those things, those dreams that we're not, some of us, able to enact or to make into a reality. Like, how can we bow to them, wave to them, and say, hey, I haven't forgotten about you, you know? And for some of us, it might be thinking about, have we outgrown in some way an old version of this dream? Is there a part of the dream that we have absolutely outgrown that is no longer available to us in the way that we might have imagined? But is there something else? Is there something new that might want to come online? There's something inside of the energy of, you know, King of Wands typically is like a bursting forth of energy that's like, go for it, try new things. The reversal is really important. It acknowledges, like, hey, there's probably something standing in the road or hanging out in the road that's not allowing for this wellspring of creative visioning to flow. It just wants us to honor that. It just wants us to be with that. Maybe for some of us, I don't even really think this is what it's about. Maybe for some of us, that contemplation will actually lead to clarity about what we might need to do differently, if we even have the capacity to do anything differently to bring about a different outcome. There are certain boulders in the road that are easier to move off the road than others. Some of them were like, the boulder's in the road and it ain't going anywhere. So I wonder what it would be like, instead of trying to get on the other side of this boulder, to paint the boulder, to create a beautiful design on the boulder, to build a rock face, you know, to let it be the back or the hearth of a home that I might build here. Like, some of us work with that boulder actually and create something magnificent. It's just very different than what we thought we would do. So this is a month that's, we're being invited to contemplate, to really think about, like, the why, the what, and the where of our relationship to King of Wands, and to validate, like, yeah, there is a boulder in my road that's immovable, and we're always allowed to hate that, but it doesn't mean that we're not a valid artist, that we're not a valid writer, that we're not a valid creator, or that we don't have dreams that will one day be potentially enacted. Like, you are valid. I think that there's something to that, that isn't necessarily about, like, shifting your mind and making it happen. I think it's just about being with. And for some folks, it potentially will be a month where it'll be like, oh wow, like, this boulder is willing to, I'm able to move it. I have the resources. I have the capacity. There's some movability here, right? So there's something about that, an energy, again, King of Wands, that is typically a forward momentum kind of energy that is inviting us to be reflective and contemplative, with Four of Swords, that is typically, when not reversed, deeply internal, that is now asking to be more external because our time doing the internal work has reached the end of its season, and now we're ready to come out, a la Beltane, a la spring flowers. So there's a very interesting dynamic happening this month where there's a lot of contemplation, a lot of internal work, a lot of reflection, a lot of weighing options, a lot of working through fear potentially about being seen. That is a big one with King of Wands. Maybe we have all the access, all the resources. The road is wide fucking open, but we keep putting the boulder in the road because we're like, no, you know, so working through that is important. It's valid. And at the same time, there's an energy, Four of Swords, that's like, there's some part of us that's ready, you know, to move up and forward in a way that I believe is really supportive for us. So, but that's a lot to hold, right? As a description for the month, you know, as an energy and a sense of medicine that is guiding us through the month. That's a big deal, right? I also pulled, you know, how will this month feel to us? And I got Six of Cups, which I felt like was really powerful and sort of acts as like what's flowering open from, you know, the seeds of King of Wands and Four of Swords, right? Both reversed. Six of Cups is an expressor. And actually, it's so funny, we're talking about boulders in the road. I wrote down when I was channeling down what wanted to be spoken to in with each of these cards, I wrote, and I had forgotten about it, a boulder being removed from a rushing river and the water pouring forth from that opening, right? From that clearing. Six of Cups is about feeling into the safety, into the radical intimacy to share what's on our heart and mind, to be seen in that, to let ourselves say how much we love something, share how excited we are about something. It's very, very vulnerable. And the fact that this energy comes on the heels of the Five of Cups is, you know, sometimes it has nothing to do with this, but at its core, it is about grappling with loss. You know, so this idea that we could be, we've been moving through a season of loss, of clearing, of, you know, grappling with what it is to let go of these, you know, there's often a depiction in Five of Cups of like three spilled cups, two full cups behind us, but we're only facing the three spilled cups, which is very important to be with those three spilled cups for as long as we need to. Six of Cups is about taking those two full cups and creating something so magnificent with it. It's an outpouring. You know, something is really growing from those cups. We're saying yes to those cups in brand new ways. So what this month is going to feel like to us is a deeply heartfelt month, a month where there'll be a lot of opportunities to get really real about shit, to share, you know. And my recommendation is like, if you have something to say, if you have something to share that's on your heart, share it, say it, let someone know. Don't be afraid to be honest with who you care about, you know, or if you're sorry, to repair if you can. And if you can't, to write it in a letter and really let yourself be heard and seen. So it's a clearing and an outpouring, and it's all in service of, again, kind of planting these seeds for what we want to connect with next. And I believe that Six of Cups is a highly contemplative energy, right? We're really being with what's on the heart and letting it come forward in a way that is needed, you know, and wanted. The deepest lesson of the month ahead is Nine of Swords reversed. So like Four of Swords reversed, this card lives in a similar paradigm. Nine of Swords, when it shows up not reversed, is an energy that speaks to like a lot of fear, a lot of what if thinking, a lot of potential nightmare scenarios. And the worst part of working with Nine of Swords is that it really can feel like we just can't get on top of the fear. Like the worries are so irrational and they kind of can feel a little bit outside of our control. It can really just feel like, oh my God, like, but what if that happened? What if this happened? And we learn with Nine of Swords to kind of get on the level of the scared part of ourselves and work with the fears, sometimes with the help of a therapist or a trusted professional processor. We work through those things. And then we can kind of quell the fear that way, or at least just be with it, right? Nine of Swords reversed is a loosening and a liberation from the fears that have held us back. It's not that we're denying the fears and the reversal. It's not that we're unconscious to the fears. Nine of Swords reversed typically means we have worked through those fears. And now what we're seeing is, oh my God, there's a lot more movement and spaciousness available to me than I thought. Like, I don't feel so frozen in fear around this. I don't feel so beleaguered with what ifs. I don't feel so worried anymore. Like there's the ghost and the memory of that. And for some of us, this month may in fact be realizing, like, I'll share a story. One of my parents really pushed so hard for me to learn how to ride a bike. We stayed out until much too late on a school night. I never got the hang of it. It was really difficult. I was like screaming the whole time and very upset. I wanted to go home. Not great. I wouldn't recommend that. I couldn't ride it. I didn't know how to brake. It all felt like so overwhelming to me physically. But then the next day, I got up on the bike and just started riding it. And I remember my grandfather and that parent kind of being like, what? And I was like, yeah, like whatever, like I got it, whatever, you know? And I think that there's something to that idea there, right? We can trip and fall and stumble and freak out and be so upset and be like, this is an issue for me. It's historically been an issue. It's going to be an issue. May is asking some of us to give old things a new shot. Not that shitty partner that you're like, maybe they've changed. Not, most likely not that. Not something that has historically been terrible, but more like things that we've believed around stuff we've really wanted. Beliefs that have held us back. What ifs that have been too great for us to even try. We can lean in and attempt something new this month that I think has the capacity for many of us to be incredibly profound and transformative. Because if we've believed for so long, like, oh, I can't do this, there's no way, then to try something new and to realize like, oh my God, I can totally ride this bike now. Something must have happened in there that, you know, although it didn't happen in a linear way, something got in there. There was something that got over, there's something I was able to override. Now I can get on this bike and ride it. Like, that's amazing, right? So all that to say that I think it's a really incredible opportunity to feel into some of these things, open to some of these things, and, you know, expand in a lot of these different ways. It's the deepest lesson of the month is learning that through experience and through actually leaning in and testing that some of our deepest fears may in fact have sailed away or changed on us a really long time ago, leaving a lot more lightness and spaciousness available to us. Maybe not around everything, but around enough that I think it may come as some surprise to many of us, like, oh wow, like here we are, right? So that's the deepest lesson of the month. The willingness to face the fears that are ready to be faced and to also acknowledge that some of the old fears that may have held us back have potentially lost some of their power, right? The what we're being invited to pay attention to most is Page of Swords. This connects to me up with King of Wands. And the reversal around that, I think that there's a million different ways that King of Wands can be expressed and felt. But one of the ways that we talked about is like that we're afraid, you know, that we're worried about failure. We're worried about, you know, whatever it might be, right? Or some, again, boulder in the road. Now, what wants our attention most being Page of Swords? Page of Swords in many ways is a deep helper and an antidote to some of King of Wands reverse quandary, because King of Wands tends to have there's a lot of value sometimes in this energy around like, I want to bring my thing that's mine. And that's like my great gift. My like, you know, it loves that. It wants to be authentic. That's the Wands top priority, that what they're doing feels like them, you know, feels authentic to them. Page of Swords, it's not that there's not authenticity desired in the swords, but Page of Swords is the energy that's like, yeah, I'm young. I don't have the most experience. I'm not necessarily going to take up all the space in the room, but I don't think I don't have value here, right? It's an energy that again, I've used this example many times. Somebody who's a very recent grad or a student, they're not like out in the workforce. They're not typically, they may not be the oldest person. They may not have a ton of experience, but they have value. They have medicine to share. Like, right, Page of Swords is like, I'm learning how to hold this sword and I'm wielding it in the best way I can. And I'm here to utilize the full extent of my mind, my vision, my heart, my spirit. One of the really big pieces here, and you know, again, this is what we're being invited to pay attention to most. How might we lean more fully into like, we can do what it is that we're longing to do? We have so much to offer, whether we believe it or not. So much to offer. There's so much to give. There's so much to open to. Like, there's so much that we can provide. How can we allow that to come forward in us, even if it's imperfect, right? That's a really important question to ask. That's what wants our attention most. An aligned action to potentially take is Knight of Cups reversed, to recenter our needs and potentially our care if we're able to and if possible. Knight of Cups reversed lets us know that in one way or another, it's usually not our fault, maybe as a result of our choices, but it still involves, I believe, a sense of respect and care and compassion when looking at those choices. Knight of Cups reversed lets us know like the support, the vessel that's kind of holding us in the container for our feelings and our experience is a little leaky, right? It's like a little jostly. There's not something super solid happening right now in one area or more. So again, another area that we're being invited to contemplate here is this idea like, can I potentially open to a different form of care? Can I potentially be, you know, available to hold myself or to be held in this time? Can I open to a greater degree of support and care through this experience right now? And if we're thinking about King of Swords King of Wands and Four of Swords, both reversed as our cards for the month. King of Wands is all about, you know, again, moving forward with our passion. Four of Swords is all about deep reflection. And when reversed, those two things kind of flip. Like, what is the boulder in the road around our creative flow, like bringing our vision to the world? And how can we be invited to come up out of the cave and be seen? You know, really let ourselves be seen here. To do those two things, to reflect that deeply and to come forward in that way, out of the cave and into the world, so to speak, right? We have to feel like there's something sturdy holding us. So that's the deep question, right? Is to look at like, what are some different forms of sturdiness that might be really important right now? Maybe they're not what we've historically reached for. Maybe it's the opposite of what we've historically reached for. Maybe it's important to drop into something different. Like all of that is what we're being invited to look at, right? This month is really interesting. We're, again, thinking, we're spending some time with that lion, so to speak, a la strength card, because again, 2024 is a strength year. It's definitely a time to bring a gentle curiosity, to bring contemplation, to bring reflection around what is showing up in the road on our path, on our journey, as it relates to our next few mile markers, like what most wants our attention. Again, some of us may be very visible during this time, may be in very deep action, very deep organization, but overall May is it's like we're going to be, again, in the cave. It is going to be a largely contemplative, personal month. Like, we may not do a whole lot of sharing. We may not do a whole lot of group or public processing. It's probably going to be a time when we're doing a lot of consideration under the surface, right? So I just want to thank all of you for listening to this, for being here with me. It was a joy to get to sink into all of this with you today. I hope that you continue to stay safe. Please be well. I don't know when I'll connect with you next, hopefully in the next 2 weeks, but if not, you'll certainly hear from me for the June monthly medicine. Whenever we connect again, however we connect again, please take really exquisite care of yourselves. You deserve it. This podcast was edited by Chase Voorhees. Podcast art by Rochelle Sartini Gardner. And this episode was transcribed by one of our absolutely brilliant and beautiful transcriptionists, all of which you can learn more about or read about on our website, tarotforthewildsoul.com. If you wish to dive into more of my work, learn more about Soul Tarot, work with me in any kind of capacity, I'm always creating new things for us to do together. But you can find all about our self-led courses and classes and new offerings on tarotforthewildsoul.com. And if you want to be the first to know about any new offerings, any new projects that I'm doing, if you want to benefit from discounts and early birds and all kinds of lovely newsletter-only offerings, you can sign up for the newsletter at the link in our show notes. And finally, if you have a question for me to answer at the podcast, or if you'd like to work with me live on the podcast, or if you'd like your question answered on the podcast, please click the link to Ask Lindsay and send me your cues. Thank you so much for being here.